May the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, Lord God, this day. You may be seated. The day had worn on slowly, with the bags of trash and worn rags soaked with cleaning solution stacked by the door. Mantles had been dusted, counters disinfected, and the yard was appropriately landscaped. The woman sat in her living room with the handful of youth that had joined her in her home for the day and entertained them with stories from her childhood and of her husband, who had died some decades ago. Opposite her, a girl about 12 years old sat on the old couch, passively listening as the woman spoke. Her interest piqued when the woman talked about her family and friends, all of them having preceded her in death. The woman was well over 100 years old and had lived in the same house for the bulk of her life. The day had started as a weekend service experience the girl's family and her church group had put together. It wasn't the usual mission of the time of packing food and sorting clothes for the many, but instead their youth group leader had put the day together in favor of the opportunity to make a singular, deeper connection with an individual. The young girl could have come up with a list of activities she would have rather done that Saturday. She struggled to keep her own room clean at home and couldn't understand how she was now being expected to clean someone else's room. She had disinfected begrudgingly, dusted with disdain, and quietly dreamt of ways she could get out of future service trips. Now, sitting with the woman, hearing her stories, and seeing the end of the day quickly approaching, she could admit to herself that it hadn't been all that bad. They had only been asked to clean the first two floors of the house, the older woman having a tenant living upstairs in the attic, but she mentioned she hadn't seen his space in some time. Earlier in the day, when the group had offered to clean the room upstairs, she had turned them down. But now, as their time together was coming to a close, she shifted and decided it couldn't hurt to give the attic a once-over. The girl trudged up the stairs, a small bucket in hand, and her mother in tow, ready to get the last room over and done with. She opened the door and was hit with an overwhelming musky stench of aged urine, sweat, and dirt. She retched and turned, running straight into her mother on the stairs. Her mother turned her firmly back around and pushed her into the room, taking in the sight of a lone mattress on the floor. The room cluttered and clearly the home of someone who had long since stopped being able to care for themselves. The girl's mother sighed and began to unpack her bucket, beginning to clean the floor, while the girl stood back, struggling to breathe through the smell and trying to take in the scene. After several beats, the mother turned back and, seeing the girl's distress, sighed again and said, "Try. And if you really can't, then go downstairs, rest, and I'll finish here." Like the disciples, in many of the miracle stories, the girl struggled to understand how there was always more work to be done, how there was always another person who needed help and healing. In this passage from Mark, we see the disciples returning to Jesus after their travels and reporting back the various ways they had healed and taught in the communities visited. We can almost imagine Jesus looking at their weary faces, mentally tallying the miles that they have traveled, and after a beat, giving the directive, Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. The lectionary is interesting this morning because of the way it breaks up this passage from Mark. It has the disciples sent out on a boat on their way to their place of rest, while Jesus comes ashore to find a crowd of people gathered, and upon seeing them gathered, has compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The reading then skips forward here to the end of chapter 6, bypassing the little tidbit that this is not a small gathering of people standing on the shore for Jesus, but instead a crowd of 5,000 that late into the night are fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, with an excess of 12 baskets of broken pieces. Following this, the disciples are shocked to see Jesus walking on water outside of their boat, responding to their fear with the words, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid," before they continue their travels and arrive at Gennesaret. It is here that we pick back up, with this steady flow of people coming from miles away, hoping for the opportunity to just touch the fringe of Jesus' cloak in search and hope of healing. All throughout Mark, the disciples have had a bit of a problematic narrative. They're at once eager to be sent out to teach and to heal, while also failing time and time again to understand Christ's teachings and be forever surprised and at times fearful of Jesus' actions. There are many sermons that have been preached on the disciples' contradictory actions in Mark, but I believe that there is a quiet comfort in their confusion. For those of us that love to keep busy schedules and never-ending to-do lists, I often wish that this passage from Mark could be included as a footnote to other passages, such as the Great Commission, that have been used to instruct us on how to live a godly life. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But later, come away to a deserted place and rest a while. Perhaps after the last 18 months, our idea of a deserted place can reflect feelings of hopelessness or free-floating anxiety. But this is not the deserted place of Mark. The pastoral perspective of this passage offered by Robert Bryant highlights the importance of the deserted place, saying, Mark's repeated reference to Jesus' invitation to retreat with him to a deserted place is significant. Not only is rest the completion of their mission, but throughout Israel's life, the wilderness is a place of struggle and testing, even as it is also a place where God often encounters the faithful and provides sustenance, protection, renewal, and direction. We know from this passage the disciples' ability to get away and rest did not mean the completion of their mission, but served as a reminder that God's work continues even when we rest. We are not called to work until burnout, forgoing nourishment, rest, and renewal, falling into the dangerous trap of believing that God's work can only be accomplished when our hands are the ones doing the healing and our hearts holding a monopoly on compassion. This is not urging us to ignore our calling, but a reminder to listen for the quiet stillness and invitation to come away and rest, to trust that the work does not end with us. Back in the old woman's house, the girl sat, ready to leave and get home to comfortable and familiar surroundings. Her parents trudged down the stairs and after a beat informed the girl they were heading home, but only to get the extra mattress at their house for the upstairs tenant. Confused, the young girl stammered out questions. Why would they give away a perfectly good mattress? Wouldn't it just be soiled, like the one already upstairs? Didn't it seem like a waste? She, like the disciples, couldn't see the Christ-like compassion in the actions before her. You see, her rest had been self-soothing, less of a time of reflection on the day and more of a countdown to her returning to a space of comfort and familiarity. How could the situation have looked differently if she had seen the directive to rest not as a chance to check out, but as an invitation to listen and receive sustenance, protection, renewal, and direction from her God? Today, let us think about who in our life emulates the teachings of Christ and reminds us to rest. As we go out into the world, let us remember it is far easier to identify with the disciples, tired from the journey, doing our best to follow Christ, and sometimes in need of permission to find that place of rest that allows for renewal. God, who sends us into the world to teach and heal, who prepares the way and models compassion, leads us now to that place of rest and renewal. If we arrive uncomfortable with the silence, let us hear God's voice in the stillness. In this holy place, we may want to busy ourselves, trying to fill the space with our own presence. So today, let us pause and let the presence of God fill us. Amen.